Welcome to Loading the Bar with physical training experts Parker McBride and Matt Wasko. Our Fit Lifestyle podcast covers the science of nutrition and fitness, together with the challenges we all face to be disciplined. We'll guide you through the minefields of fads and gimmicks and all manner of BS that tempt us in today's fitness world. Ready to begin? Then let's start loading the bar.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Loading the Bar podcast. This is episode 58, and I am your host filling in for Parker McBride. My name is Brian Keller, along with my co-host, as always, whether it's me or Parker, Matt Wasko. Matt, how you doing?
I am the staple.
You are the staple. Of course. Well, you know why you're the staple is because you are the equipment man.
That's right.
You know how to hook all this up. Parker and I are here for our looks.
Yeah, that's right. You're here for your voice. Your looks.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't know about any of those statements. I don't know about if it's the voice or the look. Neither one of those. We're just lucky to be here. You are the man behind the whole shebang here.
Well, I do my best, brother. I do my best. Now, I have a background in marketing, and so I'm very, very familiar with all this equipment.
Sure.
So.
Well, and I used to have a radio background, but that doesn't mean that I knew how to operate it. I did. I knew how to hit a button to turn it on and then to turn it off. But beyond that, hooking everything else together, I did some side gigs, and you know, it's been forever, so it's good that you are the one that's the mastermind. That's good, because I would mess it up for sure. It is the 4th of July weekend, so we are here on July 5th. How was your fireworks day yesterday?
It was nice and quiet.
Yeah.
In fact, I've been trying to prepare mentally, physically, for this competition I have coming up. And so I got home. I had to do an early morning training session. Mm-hmm. So I went home and took a nap for about an hour and a half. Got up. My wife was asleep. She got up about 7, so you knew we had no plans.
Of course.
So then my son brings home a bunch of fireworks around. They went to a fireworks show, and he came back about 10:30 last night, and so we shot off some fireworks in the cul-de-sac last night.
Okay.
I found some. They went through like all their fireworks in like 30 minutes.
As of course. You get excited about that.
Yeah. So then I knew I had some fireworks that are literally, I kid you not, are probably 5-6 years old. That's how old they are.
And faster fuse, probably. You got to be careful with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had some Texas bottle rockets.
Okay.
Which I would not shoot around here, around my house. And
big ones, you mean?
Big because ones. They, like, yeah. I mean, they're like that big.
And that's
like,
why they call them Texas, because they're
huge. Yeah. So I decided not to do those, but I had some M1000s.
Okay.
And I had like a Black Cat 6 hurrah cannon or something like that.
Hurrah cannon. Okay.
Yeah. What I mean is like six. It's called the Black Cat 6 gun cannon.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so we shot that off, which was pretty cool. We started, you know, throwing M1000s out in the street, which were, the fuse was quick.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it's like you're.
Well, then I'm glad that you're here this morning with all your fingers.
Well, that was the thing, is like I lit a couple on the ground, and then I was like, I could throw this, you know. And so my son, who seems to be the voice of reason when I'm the father,
right?
Because dad, those were pretty short. I don't know if you throw that. If you find, threw it. And blew up within like a second after I threw it. And he's like, I need my fingers coming up pretty quick, so I don't think I'll do that again.
You might need to rethink that. See, I mean, I've been working on it. I mean, I was going to ask you about your competition coming up. So you were in one that's now been, what, a year? About a year ago, wasn't it? A year and a half?
No, I was in one in, let's see.
It was last year.
No, it was this year. I went to one in Wichita.
Oh, but then
you... No, Oklahoma. I've done two this year.
But you had one. Okay, so I didn't realize that. I knew that you had one. It was last year, because we were getting ready for... we were shopping for my daughter's wedding.
Yeah.
Getting Megan an outfit for the wedding. And I remember we were out shopping that day, and you were, I think that was that the Wichita one, I
yeah,
think that,
that
you
was
did?
The
that
Wichita, was with,
okay,
yeah.
So you've done two more this year. So now we're, you're going to Vegas, and when is that?
That's so it the whole powerlifting meet starts on Monday,
okay,
which is the 7th, I think. I'm my day because they, you know, yeah, but there's like there's 120 lifters per day. So
wow.
5 days or 6 days, that's six
that's
days,
600.
720,
oh, 720, yeah, yeah, that's a lot.
So there's a lot of lifters yeah. there and a lot of categories.
Sure.
They have everyone who signed up to compete that qualified during the year. And mine is the 100 kilogram, which is 220 pounds for those who don't follow kilograms, but mine's the 220 pound 50 to 59 category.
The old man category.
That's
so
right.
I would think the old man category is probably not going to have as many competitors in it. But I could be surprised about that. But am I right about that?
Well, it's funny you mention that. I've done several meets now, and one of the things I've discovered is that the 55 to 59 age category is there's not a lot of competitors. But if you look at the 60 to 65, there is more than double what is in ours. So I don't know why that is. I went
that is kind of odd.
Yeah. So I went to the Oklahoma State Championships, and there and it was also true at the Wichita meet. There was more than double the people that were 60 to 65.
Wow.
Or, yeah, 60 to 64. And
so it's weird how certain age groups get to be kind of an in-between age group. I mean, I think that's what you would consider maybe 55 to 59.
Right.
Is that in between? Because it's just like really quickly, I won't get off topic
yeah.
too much, but it's like whenever certain years when I was coaching my daughter's softball teams, like certain like the 14U category in 1 year might have had not as many players in it as maybe a few more years down the road to where they had a plethora of players in the 14U category
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird how sometimes those just those jumps in years of how this all works out, that certain categories might, you know, have this many 1 year, like the 55 to 59 this year, and then the 60 to 65, you've got this many guys.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how that just works out with the numbers.
Yeah, and it's going to get real interest. The 50 to 59 will get real competitive next year.
Yeah.
So we have a guy that's named Spencer Minix. He has been dominating the 50 to 54 age category, all natural. And he went to the IPL Worlds, did a 407, which is like top in the world.
So that's crazy when you're only weighing 220 pounds and you can bench 407. That's pretty. And not only that, but he's over 50. He's in the 50 to 54 range.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing.
I mean, you know, that's not that big a deal for someone that's 220 and they're 25 years old.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, 50 to 54, benching 407.
407.
At 220 pounds. That's,
yeah.
That still tells you that there is life after 50.
That's right. And so I didn't see it coming, right?
Sure.
Because he wasn't in any of my categories I was following for the last 6 months. Of where I was in the country versus where all my competitors were going to be. And then I got the roster for nationals, and Spencer Minix was in my category. I was like, I don't even see him on any of the lists. And then I realized he just turned 55 in March.
And where's he based out of? Where's he live?
I think he's I think he's out of Ohio, but don't
okay.
quote me on that.
I mean, that's kind of Midwest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the national record for in the USPA Federation is 381, which is, you know, technically if you look at the USPL, which has been around about 10 years longer, maybe 10 or 12 years longer, their national record for natural at my age division is just over 400, I think.
Okay.
So they've been around longer. The USPA has been around since the, I think, 96, I think. So, I love the USPA so far. I mean, their meets are run well. They're very organized. It's easy to get things done. They put a lot of effort into trying to run it smoothly versus when I was in the WRPF, which was like a cluster. It was terrible, which hence they went under. But Not the national one, the USA WRPF one under. But the point is like, you know, so if this guy comes in, he's going to be at nationals, and if he does a four, anything over 381, that's a national record.
Well, so you and I were discussing this before we started recording this morning for the podcast. So what people, just so at home, if you're not knowledgeable of what these competitions are on these competition lifts, is it's not just a regular bench whenever you do that. It's you have to pause and then push up. So right. A pause rep is always much more difficult because you don't have the added benefit of bouncing it off your chest and getting that momentum to help your triceps
right.
with the push.
Right.
So we were discussing, that's what, I think you said about 20 different, or 20 pounds difference, think?
That would be my you know, I don't want to know what science
says
about it.
Well, I mean, but it's going to be different for everybody, but right. I mean, roughly, I mean, you think 20
for me,
pounds.
Yeah, I'd say about 15 to 20 pound difference.
And the reason,
on my own bench, yeah.
Well, and the reason why I say that is if this Spencer character is, if he's benching 407 on a regular bench, drop 20 pounds off of that, and if that max for this association that you're going to do this lift for is only 381, he'll beat it by 6 pounds if he has a good lift.
Well, his 407 was in competition.
Oh, that's right. You did say that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's in competition. So he could blow away this record
and
push
it
up over
20 pounds.
Yeah,
yeah.
And make it better or about the same as the other federation or the other organization.
I mean, he lifted in October in a meet before he went to internationals. He's been competing in the IPL, which I'd love to do, but yeah, I don't have money to fly all over the world.
Yeah, well, you know, some people are able to do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, we both know that if you're going to compete, you have to have a gym, a good gym, and you have to have enough time to be able to get in to do that, enough to train. And so maybe, you know, those people that can fly everywhere, one, has their own business, or two, they're retired, and they have all the time in the world to lift and to do what they need to do.
Yeah, yeah. So I've considered going to internationals at some point, but I would want to be able in a position to actually win if I paid that kind of money.
Well, of course. You it's a pride thing. For one, you want to show well anyway, but if you're going to take all that time to get wherever you need to go and spend that money to go somewhere to do it, you're going to want to definitely show well. And you're going to want to win if you can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But depending on where you're flying nationally too, you have to remember jet lag is real. And and if you were to fly over there and compete, you better make sure that
get there a few days early
and acclimate yourself for sure. Yeah. That way you're feeling good because you don't want to just.
Well, isn't Vegas a 2 year or 2 hour difference?
Yeah, I think it is 2 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and that's not bad. That's just going to be pushing you back to where instead of three here, it'd be one there. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I should show well at nationals and, you know, and I was like, well, you know, I'm going to do what I know I can do.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And if this guy puts up 407, you know, fantastic.
Sure.
I mean, all kudos.
Right.
I know how hard I'm going to know how much work you have to put in to do that.
You can only just shake his hand and congratulate
him. That's 100%.
And say, good job, man.
That's right.
Good job.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I will say, for the first time in some time, hitting 400 seems possible for me, you know. So,
sure.
You know, the Angel, he's an exercise scientist, but he's my coach. He got a degree in exercise science.
Oh, I did not know that about him.
Yeah.
So he is pushing you with some good science stuff. 100%.
Yeah. 100%. So, he thinks it's possible. He wants me hitting 385 by October in competition.
Okay.
And then
that's going to be just, that's 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if I mentioned on the last podcast or not, but I'm going to Masters in Shreveport, Louisiana.
I don't think you talked about
that.
When is that?
That's in March.
Oh, next March. Okay.
And he's like, I want you hitting 400 by then. I'm like, well, I'll work my ass off, man, because, man, he worked me hard.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, too. Besides the fact that you have Angel with this degree and he's pushing you, you mentioned that you were really worn out. So Thank God for a neurosuit.
If, yes, 100%.
You know, plug for that if anyone wants to use it. Matt's going to try to get his hands on a suit to, I tell you, I've tried it, and it feels amazing. It just makes you twitch, and it makes your muscles twitch all over, and you're just sitting there, and you're just kind of like you're shaking in a way. It's really weird, but it works. So
yeah.
That way, if you do get one, maybe everyone listening can hit you up for that suit.
Yeah, that, I mean, I have a lot of people that could use that Neuro 20 suit. I mean, it's 100% it works. I've seen unbelievable things with it. There's great things for healing, like, you know, peptides, like the BP-157, the Neuro suit. You know, I mean, you have your traditional, you know, therapy and stuff like that.
Sure.
But these things that are fairly new to the market, I'd say in the last 5 or 10 years, so a lot of people don't know much about them or have ever heard of them, but they're both cutting edges type of technology, and both of them are, you know, fantastic for healing. Now, that being said, competition wise, I can't take peptides.
Right. So. No, but the suit can help get you prepared, yeah, to get ready to do your lifts that you need. So if you are new to the podcast, or even if you have been listening all the way through, if you remember one of the very first podcasts, I mean, a ways ago, the suit was brought up and discussed. So they can always go back and because I believe you had your friend on that that owns the company, right, that came up with the suit.
Yes.
So you can go back and re-listen to that to get more familiar with the suit, because if Matt can get his hands on one, you're going to want to try it. Secondly, I think peptides would be an excellent topic for a future podcast. I think we
Me and Parker have talked about that.
I think that'd be good.
And we wanted to get someone on who actually knew a lot about them.
Sure.
Because I know surface level stuff. Right.
Right. Right.
You know, if I did the show, I'd probably spend a whole week studying them, because it's not something we know a ton about. But a lot of people are starting to use them because of their benefits.
I was going to suggest maybe talking to Dr. Alexander about that and see if she knows anything, and that might not be a bad topic. So, good luck. I hope you show well and really make Lee Summit Mo proud, and you do a good job, Matt, and we're always behind you. So, you gave me a bit of a topic you'd like to discuss today.
Yes.
And you have a quite America's birthday theme to this, or a 4th of July theme to our topic today. What is that?
Okay, so this is going to be called Fireworks or Fizzle.
Okay,
in honor of July 4th, Independence Day.
Or fingers or no fingers.
Fingers or no fingers, that's correct. that's actually pretty good. I should have thought of that. Fingers or no fingers.
Well, that just brought me back to you tossing them just a little bit. You were talking about it, and then boom, just, you know, at least you have all your fingers. So
that's
anyway,
right.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
So we're going to cover some claims that are either made by a study, they're made by online or a blog or some influencers. And I'm not going to get too detailed about the study or the influencers only because of time, but because we have...
And we use the term influencers very loosely in this podcast.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
So, we're going to talk about the claim, and then we're going to talk about our own experiences and what we think.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
And then we're going to come to a conclusion, is it a firework? Yes, it's true. Or is it a fizzle? It's not. The claim isn't worth it. So,
right.
Or explosive truth, so to say.
Sure.
Or no fingers.
Or no fingers.
Yeah. I guess it'd be like fireworks would be I have no fingers, and fizzle would be I have my fingers. So,
I would have thought just the opposite. I would have been like fireworks. Oh, great! I'm celebrating because I have all my fingers. Fizzle. Oh man, I lost. I just have a nub. Look right here, no fingers.
We probably should stick fireworks and fizzle because now I'm confused.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
So what's the first topic?
Number one.
Okay.
High intensity resistance training burns more fat than cardio. What are your thoughts?
I absolutely agree with that statement. Simply because if you're doing cardio, you know, just working on a treadmill or doing an elliptical or whatever, you're using your muscles, yes, because you're moving the body. So it makes your muscles work. But you're working more lungs and heart more than anything, which, don't get me wrong, you get wonderful benefits out of that.
Right.
But if you're doing resistance training, not only are you, if it's high intensity, right? High intensity training. So not only are you elevating your heart rate and working on your heart and your lungs doing the high intensity training, you're also working your muscles at the same time. So you're getting a dual benefit of that. So you're working everything. Your muscles are actually, rather than just walking and doing it that way, you're getting the benefit of a resistance train that might add an extra 15, 20, 10 pounds to whatever it is that you're doing.
Right.
So, yes, to me, I think that by far and away is a true statement.
Well, so I'll put it in layman's terms so we don't get too complicated. So when we do resistance training, especially at high intensity, like heavy resistance training, you're spiking the heart because a lot of people associate steady state cardio or cardio just in general with I'm exhausted, so I must be burning a lot of calories, which there's truth to that. You're burning a lot of calories. But in comparison to resistance training, where you, sometimes your cardio is not off the charts, right? You're just lifting heavy for, let's say, 8 to 10 reps, okay? But you're not to the point of VO2 where you're on the ground, is about, can't catch your breath, right? It's not that kind of like, you know, hit circuit type of feeling where you feel like you're about to die. So you can't have a high heart rate without high cardio respiratory. But in translation, you can't have a low heart rate with a high cardio respiratory. Okay, so that means is that when you're lifting heavy, let's say I'm doing, you know, RPE 9-10s on sets of 8, right? And I do 4 sets of that. That heart is having to feed those muscles and deliver blood at such a rate that it's, and the tissues are just exponentially burning calories to fuel those muscles at such a rate that cardio or steady state cardio cannot match. Okay, even if you're just going to failure, because you're not lifting heavy typically in cardio, because you can't get enough oxygen, right? But you're making sure you have plenty of oxygen when you're doing, you know, high intensity resistance training. And the calorie burn has proven to be higher in studies doing high intensity resistance training.
Well, so I would even add just a caveat to that. So if you're going to do the high intensity resistance training and you're doing the sets like you suggest, something that would take that to another level and burn even more is, instead of taking your 90 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, depending on how heavy you're going that day in between sets,
right,
do an active rest, like go get a jump rope. And in between sets, jump rope and keep that heart rate elevated a little bit and work on a little extra cardio. So an active rest in between, and then go back to doing another set, and it's really going to push that even further.
Well, I would say there's some truth to that, as long as you do, because remember, when you are tired, it will cut your strength in half, right? So if you're doing the jump rope in between sets, which is fantastic to kind of get more a higher VO2, like ability to keep your heart rate and cardio respiratory higher, which proves fantastic for sports and stuff, right? But if your heart rates, or if you're cardiovascular, you're still breathing pretty hard, you're a lot of the ATP, or that should say the energy, and is being used for keeping the heart and the lungs pumping to move quickly, right? And so you will not be able to lift as heavy.
Well, I'm not talking about maximizing your heart rate out with just jump roping until you can't breathe. I'm just saying, just, you know, just do 50 to 75 jumps with a jump rope at a not a leisurely pace, but not at a
not
going
high
to where
intensity.
I can't breathe anymore.
Right,
somewhere in between, to where you're just keeping that elevated heart rate up. Make you have to.
Yeah,
maybe breathe just a little bit, and then you can get back and calm yourself down before you do your next set.
There could be a happy medium there.
And I've been doing that, and I find sometimes that really helps to give me a little extra burn while I'm doing my workout.
Yeah. I'd say if you're going, I think where that would prove to be not beneficial is if I was stepping in the gym and today was a max day, right? Or correct. heavy rep day.
Correct.
You wouldn't want to be doing that between that.
Right.
Because it would take some energy away from you.
But the more you work on that and you do that and you get your body acclimated to that, I think there are some health benefits to that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's, I mean, this is a, so the premise of our question, again, what burns more calories? Okay. Cardio is absolutely necessary for good fitness. Mm-hmm. And resistance training is the leader. Okay. So I'll call back to my early days when I was training. One of the first things that my mentor said to me was that cardio is great, but it doesn't transform the body the way resistance training does. And right. what he was saying was, it's not that you can't eat. Well, first it starts with nutrition, of course.
Sure.
We've talked this 50-some episodes. We've talked about this.
That's the basis, right?
Yeah. So, but good nutrition, let's take that as a fact. So good nutrition. But if you're new, if you want to actually transform the body to where it actually looks really fit, as resistance training, cardio won't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what did the study end up saying?
So, I pulled up a section from a study. As a cluster of randomized controlled trial found that high-intensity resistance training significantly reduced body fat percentage compared to low-intensity resistance training in control groups in college women with obesity. This is due to the increased muscle mass, boosting resting metabolic rate, and the enhanced fat oxidation post-exercise. Cardio still burns calories during sessions, but resistance training's long-term metabolic effects are superior for fat loss.
As we suspected,
yeah.
And as we suspected, but we kind of said it more in layman's terms, but yes. And we didn't actually, we didn't touch on the longevity after, because I think certain exercises and how much you're burning, I think some of the bigger exercises can still be with you burning fat and giving you health benefits for what, like up to 8 hours after you get done working out. So we didn't touch on that, but yes, I mean, the study mentioned that at the end, and again, that if you really want to increase and transform your body and really give yourself some very good health benefits, the resistance training is the way to go.
Yep. So the July 4th rating is?
I would have to say it's the fireworks.
Firework.
Yeah, yeah, firework.
Right. Or no fingers.
Or no fingers, yeah. I would, yes, I would call that one definitely a firework. They actually got that one right,
yeah.
Which that's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah,
with all these studies that are out there that claim one thing, and we're just sitting here.
I saw it on both sides. Some of these claims would have been, if you, depending on who's doing the research, would be either some would be on Fizzle and some would be on Firework. But, you know, all right.
What's
so
topic number two?
Next claim.
Your claim.
Okay. Plant-based proteins are just as effective as animal proteins for muscle growth. I know what he's already said it. It's a fizzle.
that is, there cannot be any real truth to that.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that is a statement and a study that's been put out by a plant group of some sort that's pushing a plant-based product. Has to, because we know, I mean, there are studies out there, and God put everything on this earth for a reason, but the animals are for, you know, are for our benefit, for our, used to be to be used for food,
right?
As it's always been, and there have been you know, years and years and years and years and centuries of that being proven.
Right.
But, you know, today's doctor wants to tell you, oh, you can't eat too much red meat, Matt, because it's going to create too much cholesterol. And we know how the cholesterol is in the body. I mean, so this could get us into a completely different topic or series of topics. But I say absolutely not. That, to me, is a fizzle. What's your comment on it?
Yeah, so when I saw this claim, I was I was kind of surprised. It doesn't surprise me. I should say, where did the claim come from? We got to look that up. Hold on a second. The claim came from, here we go, a 2025 Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee and Wellness Influencers. They asserted that plant proteins, such as legumes and soy, are on par with animal proteins for muscle growth, hypertrophy, when consumed in adequate amounts.
And they didn't even bring up pea protein. They just said legumes and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think they're talking about all plant proteins, but... Okay. Well, but right. Soy...
Well, legumes to me are beans. Legumes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but, yeah. I don't... Yeah. Soy, no thank you.
So, here's the thing that's the problem with animal proteins. I'm sorry, with plant proteins. It's their amino acid profiles. Okay.
I bet they're pretty low, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, like meat has all is considered a complete protein because it has all the essential amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all of them. Mm-hmm. Plant protein does not. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they can their plant profiles, their amino acid profiles can vary widely, and then none of them are really complete. Most amino acids, most plant proteins, they will lack one or more of the amino acids. And here's the other thing. They also have phytates and oxalates, depending on, in them that are like binders, right? So they hold on to a lot of the nutrients. Because the other thing they were saying is that plants have added benefits like let me look that up here, pull that back up. Plant proteins can be effective for resistance training athletes, and they have also, they have minerals and vitamins more, they say they have more minerals and vitamins than whey protein, which in a whey protein format that may be true. Unless it's done from, like red meat, I don't buy that at all.
Right.
Right. And here's the thing about those minerals and vitamins that they say that, plant protein has more of. The body is not able to bioabsorb them because of those binders.
Right.
Okay. So the digestibility is an issue. So here I pulled some research. When protein is generally easier to digest for most people, plant proteins can sometimes cause digestive issues due to fiber content. However, many people find them easier on their stomach overall, which is surprising, but it might be easier on the stomach, but not getting the minerals and vitamins out of them.
Well, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but the plant proteins, the plant-based proteins, when plants have oxalates in them, those oxalates are produced, I think, by the plant with its defense mechanism. And those oxalates consumed, if you consume too many of those, they can be detrimental to your body. And I don't remember what the health ramifications are from those, except for, I know it's irritation, I think, probably some inflammation and some other issues with those oxalates. So,
yeah,
and you can get that by eating too much spinach, too much peanuts, I think, have them. I think some of the nuts have oxalates in them, and some of the greens do. So you do have to be very careful with the amount of plant-based protein that you're going to consume, for sure.
So, yeah, and whey protein is way more bioavailable. The body absorbs it way better than plant protein. That's shown up in studies. So that's the question, is why the plant protein? To me, if you're doing a lot of people think that, here's the thing, if you think about milk, like people think, I'm allergic to dairy. And if they actually had raw milk, they probably find out it's not the dairy, it's the pasteurization.
I would have to agree with that.
And say, well, they might say, well, I had whey protein from the store. And they say, well, my stomach reacted poorly to it. Have you ever seen all the ingredients in some of those proteins?
Yeah.
Get a clean whey protein.
The cleaner, the better.
The clean whey protein, and see if you have the same
issues.
Well,
and get the isolate, and not necessarily the concentrate. The concentrate's good, too, but get the isolate. The isolate is supposed to have even greater health benefits than the concentrate, but both of them are way better, not no pun intended, than the plant-based.
Yeah. So it also, several studies have shown that protein supplementation enhances muscle gains way better in resistance training compared to plant protein.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is where is this dietary advisory committee getting their information? Like I said, you can make a study say whatever you want.
Sure you can. Well, and again, like I mentioned earlier, it's probably from a group that's paid to have it done so they can push their plant-based products.
Now, I did in the same thing that gave whey protein its kudos, deserved kudos over plant protein, it did say some people, individuals, may experience digestive issues with dairy products. And again, let's see, dairy or animal products for health reasons. And again, I think a lot of us are not actually experiencing a reaction to dairy or animal. I think it's the way it's processed.
I'll tell you, I think I'm actually, my body is reacting to the raw milk I've been now consuming for the last couple of months in a positive way.
Yeah.
So, you know, the misnomer to me, Matt, on raw milk or milk in general, which could have been because I had really never had raw milk up until the last couple of months. But when I used to, as a younger man, bought whole milk and then 2% and then down the skim, it was always because, you know, people would say, oh, well, that especially the whole milk, it adds mm-hmm. so many calories and you're just going to gain a lot of weight with it.
Right.
Well, and that could have been the pasteurization or the homogenization on it.
Right.
But it was just milk and I knew, oh, well, having milk is good for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once I've started taking the whole milk, I haven't, it's not been the milk that's been the problem on gaining weight. I mean, I've actually been able to maintain my weight much, much better. It's doing wonders for my digestive system. It helps you be on a regular schedule,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
It has so many health benefits. So not to get off topic with that, but milk is it really, if you haven't had raw milk, I don't know what you're waiting for.
It gives you so many liquid gold, folks.
Yes, it gives you so many health benefits.
And
so
me and Parker have done multiple episodes on raw milk.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
there's such this
misnomer.
There's just an agenda out yeah. there against mm-hmm. it.
Yeah,
from the government level down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy.
So what? So we're gonna say based on this study. Is this, what are you thinking? Is it a firework or is it a fizzle? Or
well, I mean, if it's a firework, that means it's in the negative for us. But here's the notes. While plant proteins are indeed contribute to muscle growth, they do not match the rapid absorption and complete amino acid profile of whey protein.
Okay? I would have to agree with that.
Which has been shown to be more effective in some contexts. Adequate planning and combinations of different sources are key if you're relying solely on plants. Now, that to me sounds more like you would have to know what the plant protein's being made of. And if it's one thing, then you would, the amino acid profile would, I don't think would be adequate. So I'm going to say because the absorption rate and the, this is about muscle growth.
Right.
I'm going to say that this is a fizzle.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Okay. Claim number three. Training to failure is essential for maximum muscle growth. Ooh, this one's a little tougher.
This is going to be a little tougher. Training to failure. So,
I put you on the spot on this one.
So, training to failure. There's, it's... How are you going to get to failure, I guess, for one? I think there are some definite benefits to training to failure, but you said muscle growth. You didn't say anything
muscle
about
growth, no.
getting strength
yeah,
or anything.
Maximum,
you just said maximum muscle
growth.
Growth.
So not strength.
Okay.
So size of muscle.
Yeah, so I do think that if you're going to push yourself to failure and you're going to do that more often, then yes. I do think the hypertrophy of the muscle breakdown of getting the muscle fibers torn and broken down to rebuild, I think will do that. Okay. It's not necessarily going to give you strength all the time, but I think going to failure, not all, I mean, did it say every time that you work out? Is that what it's saying?
So here's the claim. Social media fitness gurus claim you must train to failure until you can't lift another rep to maximize hypertrophy in the gym. So I think this is a mixed bag. That I'll tell you my opinion.
Okay.
I think there's a place for it, but you can't do it for the whole you can't do it for your full session, for the full hour or whatever you're training.
No.
And you can't do it all the time.
Correct.
One, because it will just tear the body down. This is the Mike Medzner approach, where like training, like you do the 3 or 4 warm-up sets, and then you train one set to absolute failure, mm-hmm. okay? And you're doing it with slow eccentrics. I think they have their place. I think there's a time and a place, but you can't do it day in and day out,
But he was training people doing that, and was he not a former Mr. Olympian or Mr. World or something?
He was.
And you know, it will definitely tear down your muscle fibers by doing this, because mm-hmm. he was doing the slow, he was doing both the eccentric and the concentric, mm-hmm. both slow and slow, mm-hmm. and taking it to max failure and then moving on. But yeah, unless you're just Superman, your joints and your body is not going to be able to handle that on a regular basis.
Well, think about what he was also on anabolics that heal you.
At that time.
Yeah. So yes. He was not lifting clean, right?
Right.
So if you're like constantly taking anabolics that heal you like that all the time.
I wouldn't take them anyway.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, there's that. That's something they don't talk about. But,
right. Right.
But is there a place for it? 100%.
Yes.
100%.
I agree.
But what I do with my clients, and it depends on the client, right? Some clients this is appropriate for and some it's not. But what I do with my client that wants to add size, right? Now, we've got to remember that the approach. High volume, low load is going to give you size, mm-hmm. okay? Low volume, high load is going to give you strength,
okay?
Now, do they both provide size and strength? Yes. But one, if you're doing a low load, high volume, you're going to add strength, but your size is going to be bigger.
Give the people who don't know what low load and high volume means.
Okay,
and
so
vice versa.
A low load is going to be like lifting like an RPE 6 or let's say 60%, 60 to, I'd say I wouldn't go up to 70%, but around 60% of what you would typically
max.
Could lift,
right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
For a particular set of reps. So let's say, you know, I can do 100-pound dumbbells for 10 reps, okay? But that's my max. I can't do 11, mm-hmm. right? So that might be I'm going to be doing 60-pound dumbbells for 10 reps, but I'm going to slow my contractions down. I'm going to feel every rep. I'm going to work in the stretch zone, you know, nice. Not like, you know, 8-second eccentrics or something like mm-hmm. that, but just slow-paced lifts to get contraction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, high load, low rep is where I'm going to be doing like 5 reps, and I'm probably going like an RP 8, 9, or 10, right? So, or
which means you're going to take it to failure or almost to failure,
close to failure,
right?
Or at failure, right? So, where you're pushing the body to, you're pushing your strength to its limits, and that's where you're going to be increasing strength, mm-hmm. right? But size of muscle, in you know. There's a place for, There's a place for, training to failure, but, from a commercial, standpoint for my clients, I'd lose my clients that did that all the time.
Sure. Right.
They'd be like, I can't do this again. 'Cause here's the thing. Training to failure is not for the faint of heart. Okay.
No.
And a lot of people don't really train to failure the way they think.
Well, and they don't like that feeling. So they're training to failure is putting up your last rep is you've either struggled with it so hard, you've barely gotten it up and
mm-hmm.
you know, you're not going to get another rep or
right.
you get the thing halfway up and you've got someone spotting you to help you finish out that last rep and then you're done. I mean, you don't have another rep in you,
which is easy to do if you're going heavy, right? You'll get there pretty fast. Okay.
Right.
If you're going light, a lot of people can push. They don't realize how, like, let's say you're doing like even, you know, 50% of your strength. You don't realize how many reps you can actually do something. And the body's going to start, the muscles are going to start burning quick. Okay. And I see it in more than half my clients that when I ask them to go to, let's say I'm going to have them do a burnout. You know, I'm mm-hmm. famous. Me and Parker are both famous for mm-hmm. our burnouts. And let's say I've seen it numerous times where, okay, you're going to do these tricep pushdowns or these curls or these T-bar rows. You're going
to
go.
Or like taking 135 bench to failure.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
But what you'll see more times than not is that when people are going to failure, they're going, and then they come up and they still had something, and they rack it.
Yeah, they slow down, but they're not going at the same rate of speed, so they think that they're failing.
Right. Well, but it's their mind.
It is.
Their mind can't take the pain,
right?
But if they actually push through that, the muscles will go way farther than the mind. And that's what I've been trying to. I've gotten a few of my clients to understand that principle, that when they're repping that out, when you are getting to the point where I said push past the brain. The brain wants to stop now, because I usually can tell they're like, oh my gosh, you know, because the burn is intense, so they just want to stop, right? And you'll see it. This, well, I'm done, right? Well, that's not failure.
No. Well, I'll tell you, Matt. You know, you guys have given me a 135 bench to failure on a chest day, and after doing everything else I had to do that you had on my workout, you or Parker had on my workout, I would sit down, I'd lay on the bench, get my, you know, do my 135 and start going, and I'd start getting tired, and as I thought I was getting to failure, I mean, I was getting there, and then I'd be like, man, you know, let's say for instance, I'd be at 21 or 22 reps for sake of, you know, just explanation here. And I wanted to try to get to 30. That I would push myself to try to get to 30, even though I know I'm slowing down. I might have to take a quick breath in between, you know, reps and hold it for just a second and do another one. I still kept trying to push and push and push myself to where I finally got to where I couldn't do another one.
Yeah.
And I was surprised more times than not that I was able to push and get those extra 7, 8, 10 reps that I needed to get to a place to where I thought I could at least push to. And your body's obviously going to tell you, but you have to push, like you said. You have to mentally push through that, or else you're not going to get it.
Yeah, because there's gains on the other side of that brain stop, right?
Right.
Where your brain wants to stop. If you get through where the brain wants to stop and you just keep going, you'll actually see the rest of the body start to shake.
Well, and but you know what, though? But if you don't push yourself to failure, Matt, once you get done racking that and you've put the weight up, sometimes you're like, well, crap. I could have gotten 2 or 3 more reps out of that. Mm-hmm. And then you kick yourself. But avoid doing that and just push yourself through it, especially if you have a spot. That's what you have the spot for. If you have somebody that you can trust, have them spot you. And even if you have to do beyond that, an extra rep or two that's with assistance, do a couple of forced reps if you have to. Those are always good, too.
Yeah. Now, that being said, I think it's got to add a caveat to this about burning out. In my particular situation, because I find it interesting, when you're in competition, as you're approaching you're being measured which is simply who can lift the most weight in form, right? You're being measured by how much weight you can lift, and the psychology is so important in powerlifting that the mental side of it, it's very important during training that when you're doing training. So I didn't realize this so much until the last 12 weeks, because I've only competing like a year and a half or so. Uh-huh. Well, almost 2 years, but anyway, the point is a year and a half. So the thing is like, what I've noticed is hitting reps is very important for the confidence and the psychological part of the lifting. Uh-huh. Okay. And that was even made more true to me when I was working out with Angel. He's like, we don't miss reps. We don't miss reps.
As in, you don't cut yourself short. So if you have like 6 reps on a set, you're doing all 6.
You're doing all 6.
No matter what. Whether it's a forced rep, negative, whatever, you're doing them.
You're not
cutting it short. That's what that means.
Only on bench.
Right.
Now, I go to failure on other things where I don't know what I'm going to get, right?
Right.
And he'll say, I want you to hit 15 and I'll hit 12, right? Uh-huh. Let's say he's making me do 8-second eccentrics on overhead tricep extensions, right?
Burn, baby.
Yeah, so I'll maybe hit 12 and I can't lift it another ounce, okay? Uh-huh. But when it comes to bench on the thing I'm competing on, you hit your reps. Uh-huh. So in a 12-week cycle, I missed 4 reps total. the entire time.
Wow.
Yeah. And because he believes it's so crucial that we don't miss reps.
I missed three on my workout on, I think it was Tuesday, on my second set or third set.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I did some more research, and that's very true in powerlifting circles, is like when you're training, you set it up to where, because, you know, a lot of times in my training, when I wasn't actually powerlifting, I'd push to the point of, I know I'm going to be failing, that's why I need a spot, right? Mm-hmm. But he would, you know, like, so that whole pattern of choosing just right, where I'm just below where I might fail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and finding that medium, he's been really good at that. And then he said, you know, so I thought we were doing 365 on Thursday. And I came in, we're going to do 360. Okay. You know, so I did it, hit it. He said, well, we probably could have done 365. But he wants to make sure
right.
I hit the rep. Because it's very important confidence-wise.
Sure.
So there's that aspect of it, too. But for the majority of just being in shape and looking good, that's not as important. If you miss some reps, that's not going to affect the psyche because you're not competing.
No, but so. I'm going to take that. I think I'm going to start taking that to heart more on the bench side of not missing reps. I try not to miss my reps anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on the day, you know, you can come in and feel amazing and think that you're going to blow your workout out of the water and it's a complete fizzle.
Yeah.
Or you can come in and just the opposite and you're thinking, man, I'm struggling today. But then once you get warmed up, man, you start hitting stuff and you're like, wow, this is a great workout. So it's really difficult. I try to set my numbers on my weights on where I'm going to be to hit what Parker's got for me to do that day on bench. So I'm going to take that to heart a little bit more. So overall, Matt, we're going to say this is a, what do you think? With this being a mixed
fizzle.
Bag.
Fizzle.
A fizzle.
Training to failure is overhyped and a little bit, but it is also, overhype might be a strong word, but it has its place.
Used correctly, I think it would be a firework.
Yes. Used correctly.
But, yes.
In context, correctly. But used every single day?
No. No.
And let's put it this way. You can use it all the time if you're on steroids.
Okay.
Because you recover quickly.
Right.
But
I agree.
Submaximal effort can be just as effective for most lifters. Okay. So I would say you don't need to lift a failure every single set, like the Mike Mesner approach. And science has already proven him wrong on sub. He was right on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But on that particular thing, you can have good muscle growth not doing that all the time. You use it at the right time sparingly.
Well, so. Let's put it this way. Recovery is just as important as what you're doing in the gym. The recovery outside the gym after is going to be just as important. So that would also definitely help the body, depending on how often you're doing all that.
Yeah. And I use it to in my workouts generally towards the end of a session.
So you can get what's left in the tank out. So
right, that,
and
if I use it too early, I'm not going to get good reps
on anything or everything
later
else.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. That makes sense.
All right, claim number four. Collagen supplements boost muscle recovery and joint health. The claim is collagen supplements are touted in 2025 wellness trends for speeding muscle recovery and reducing joint pain in resistance training athletes. Thoughts?
I don't know enough about collagen proteins to answer this I think it's more skin related. I think
collagen is
more skin, not joint related. To me, I think it helps more the skin, and even then I think the collagen protein, Matt, is, I don't know. I think there's still a lot to be figured out with collagen protein supplements.
Agreed. So, collagen. So people understand, collagen is found in like chicken skin, fish skin. So it's found in skin. And I love chicken skin, but my wife hates chicken skin.
Even crispy chicken skin.
Crispy chicken skin.
Yeah.
That's where it's found.
You're glowing, Matt. Look at your collagen level.
Yeah. But if you don't like eating skin of animals, then, you know, the best way to get that is a powder.
So what you're saying is everyone needs to consume a bunch of pork rinds.
Mm. Yes, I love pork rinds.
Those are deep fried. You don't want. It's cooked in animal fat. Right. Well, okay. Well, as long as it's cooked in animal fat, then there you go.
Yeah.
But they don't. They dip that stuff in corn oil and whatever, and they cook it in vegetable fat. So you're getting animal skin and vegetable fat, and you're getting a mixed bag. You need to not do that.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, go ahead.
Get good pork skin. Right. I love pork skins, or pork rinds.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So a study suggests that collagen peptides may improve joint health by supporting collagen repair, but evidence for muscle recovery is weak.
Well, here we are with that again.
Yeah.
Peptides.
Peptides, yeah.
Yeah.
Collagen, and you'll see, I mean, like Costco has a collagen peptide there. It's a powder form.
Uh-huh.
Collagen lacks essential amino acids like lysine and that are critical for muscle protein synthesis, making it inferior to whey or casein for recovery. So this would be a fizzle.
Yeah, okay. I would agree. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, that was an easy one.
Yeah.
That was easy.
All right, so next one. Okay, we're talking about this a little bit. Again, low load, high volume resistance training matches high load resistance training for strength. Not muscle size, but for strength. And I kind of let the bag out of the
cat out of the bag
on this one, but we'll discuss it anyway.
So low load, one more time.
Low load, high volume.
Okay.
Resistance training matches high load resistance training for strength. That would be high load, low volume.
So yeah, many reps, lighter weight.
Yes, or high weight, low reps.
For strength.
We're not talking about size of muscle. We're talking about strength.
Again,
considering I've been training to get strong for the last year and a half, I can answer this pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me hear your thought, and I'll maybe echo something,
right,
or I may give you my opinion. What
okay.
do you have?
That is baloney. So you cannot get really strong without pushing really heavy weight. Not possible. Now, you can get strong. It's kind of one of those things, like I said, is like, look at these two bars. One is size of muscle and one is strength, okay? So let's say that you start here. You do high volume, low load. So what's going to happen? I don't know how you would do it. If you came up with some type of equation or algorithm where you can compare strength and size of muscle in a 1-to-1 ratio, then you did high volume, low load. This would be your size. It would be your size would outpace your strength. Both go up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Change that to high load, low volume. Then the strength outpaces the size. So that's why you'll see people like Anatoly, the guy out on social media, small guy, moves tons of weight.
Is he the guy that comes in and acts like he's a janitor or something?
Yes.
He just picks up the weight?
Yes.
That dude's crazy strong.
Yeah. Crazy strong, not very big.
Right, and that's amazing.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys like that, right? And we see it in the gym. There's certain guys that, they're not that big. You can tell they're muscular because you're going to get size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what, if you're lifting weights, it doesn't matter what recipe you choose, you're going to get size. But the strength doesn't always go with it, right? Now, again, insertion points matter, of course. You know, length of your levers matter as well, of course. Okay, but in considering those as two variances. To get really strong, you have to push heavy weight.
Okay, so based on just how you put that,
mm-hmm.
I would say both work if you want to get strong. But
yeah.
If you want to maximize your strength and really, really get stronger,
mm-hmm.
and really go at that, then yes, what you said is pushing very heavy weights on a low volume is going to get you there more.
Yeah.
You're going to get much stronger doing that. I think you can get strong doing mm-hmm. lighter weights with
you
a
can.
Lot of reps. You can. But if you really want to push that to the max and get the most benefit out of it, then yes, really load up the weight, do low reps and do what you can do.
And so just to give you kind of, I have like probably 15-20% of my clients that I do high load, low volume.
Okay.
Because that's, they're good at it. They have the core to do it. They have the form to do it. Because that's the other thing about heavy load. Most of my clients don't have the form to do that.
Well, and not only the form, that is very important. You have to have so many, if we're talking about bench, I mean, you have to have so many other strong muscles besides chest. Your back has got to be strong. You have good triceps. Your core, believe it or not, a lot of people don't understand how important your core is. So,
and that's, so it's kind of true for a lot of things. It's like, you know, you have to have a well-balanced, if it's squat, you know, got to have several components of your body to be able to do a good squat. You have weak hamstrings. You can't go super heavy.
Well, but form is key, no matter what.
100%, form is key. So, moving on from
that was a fizzle.
Fizzle. And
this is number five or six?
Yeah, coming up on, that was five,
that
right?
That was five, so this is number six. Okay.
This is number six. Okay, here we go. Coffee boosts strength training performance and recovery.
Coffee,
that's the claim. A 2025 nutrition conference study claims coffee enhances strength training performance and speeds recovery, a popular topic amongst fitness influencers. Now, I've heard, I would be, Parker would be great to have here on this one because I know what he would say.
So, caffeine, and it's funny that you are pulling up today multiple studies from 2025 already, which is good that these are new studies because, you know, whenever you guys bring up or we have brought up studies in the past, they always seem to be a few years old. So these are brand new, which is good. But so coffee has caffeine in it, which caffeine has been proven to have some health benefits if taken in moderation, just like a lot of things. So you definitely don't want to consume a lot of, you know, cups of coffee, because once you start hitting wherever that break-even point is, it starts becoming a detriment to you rather than a good, you know, positive thing. So, you know, it does say, I did pull up, you know, coffee does show you, it does tell you, it just says adding, coffee is, I guess it's been studied for individual effects on physical and cognitive performance. So caffeine found in coffee is a central nervous system stimulant that can enhance alertness, focus, and physical endurance.
Yes. Yeah, it has a lot of benefits.
But I don't know about the recovery side, though. I mean, I can see maybe for alertness and focus to give your body more energy to push the weight you need in the gym, but you enlighten me, Matt, on how it is for recovery.
Okay, so this is from this 2025 study is from a New York Times.
We have got to discredit that.
Well, the one thing that crosses boundaries sometimes, is that sometimes politics fall by the wayside when it comes to nutrition. Sometimes, not all the time.
I would say very minimally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say let's specify not amongst the elite, but amongst the general population, liberals and conservatives don't get super hung up on the benefits of. I find a lot of liberals got the right mindset, although they might hate RFK because of the vaccine thing.
Right.
They might agree with him on dyes. I mean, it's hard to argue about the dyes.
But once they find out what's in all those vaccines, they're going to start singing a different tune.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So what's this NYT study say?
Okay, so that caffeine, 3 to 6 milligrams per kilogram body weight. So I don't know what that would be.
Per pound. Or no. Yeah. I don't know. Kilogram's not a pound. It's something to,
I think there's one, for every pound, there's for every kilogram.
There's 2 point something pounds, or is it more than that? Is it
it's 2.2.
2.2, okay.
Yeah. All right. So 1 to 2 cups of coffee improves strength, power and endurance by stimulating the central nervous system. A 2025 study links caffeine to reduced muscle soreness post-exercise, aiding recovery. However, it affects vary in, by individuals.
See, I don't. So this right here, this today is my coffee. I put MCT oil and ghee in it, and I have it. So I fast every morning throughout the week. But the one thing that you can have as part of your fast is MCT oil, creatine, or not creatine, MCT oil, ghee, and coffee. And I make a dark roast. So I do drink one of these full while I work out every morning. I will say it gives me a little extra boost to energize me through my workout. I cannot speak to how that benefits me for my recovery because you and I both know, Matt, that the longer you work out, no matter how hard you push, like the other day I told Parker on Tuesday's workout, I said, man, you killed me today. I had seven sets of bench, and I said, I know my legs were sore after legs on Monday, and then Tuesday my chest was sore, just a slight bit. Yeah. It wasn't much. So the more you work out and the longer you do it, the more you find that no matter how hard you, I mean, you have to really, really, really push yourself to be sore. So I don't know that coffee, to me, helps aid in my recovery for soreness. I mean, it aids in my workout, but I don't know about the recovery side.
Well, I just tried to log into the New York Times study, it's an article about a study, and I tried to log into it so I can dive deeper into it. And the loading the bar budget doesn't allow me to pay for that.
Oh,
so,
right. well,
because I don't use New York, I don't read the New York Times on a daily.
But
basis.
Our audience does have your Venmo, so
that's
they
right.
could Venmo.
Hey, Venmo me, and I'll buy the article. Anyway, so I mean, I was staying up late last night pulling some of this together, so I could have a decent show today. But so I'm going to give this a firework.
So
are
why,
you giving it a fizzle?
Well, I don't know that I have enough information to make that claim that it could be a firework or a fizzle. Why are you calling that a firework?
Because I drink caffeine.
Well, no, but I do too. But do you think that that is what also aids in your recovery? Or is it some of the other supplements you take? Creatine is going to aid in that recovery.
Now, I should specify, I don't drink that much caffeine. In fact, in the majority, probably four.
But do you drink coffee or is it in other forms?
No, I don't drink coffee.
See, so how can you give this a firework if you don't drink coffee? I drink coffee.
Yeah.
I do. If for my workout. Like, again, I have this guy right here. I fill up and I put it on ice and I drink it while I'm working out until it's done. And then I grab a cup of water and finish my workout with a glass of water. But in the meantime, it helps me. It aids me in my workout process. I cannot tell you that it aids me in my recovery. So if that's going to claim, you know, I give it a firework for the fact that it aids in my workout, but I'm going to give it a fizzle for my recovery process of that. Because I don't know that it's helping my recovery.
Well, I will say I can't really speak if it's helping my recovery because I don't drink enough of it.
Okay? Well, but you're not drinking coffee. You're drinking caffeine in other forms.
Well, I do have a cup of coffee maybe three times a week.
Okay.
But that's usually.
But you're not using that to aid in anything.
No.
So,
no.
Are you going to rethink your firework? Because we're talking about coffee.
I think I said firework because I want to get under Parker's skin.
Oh. So when he listens to this, he'll go back. Yeah, and go, huh?
Okay. Well, I'll lean towards fizzle on the recovery.
So Parker and I are about the same on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And if I would, you know. Now, if the study, if I'm going to look, I'll try to remember to look, see if I can find the study that the New York Times quoted. But, you know, if the science is good depending on who paid for the study, you know.
Well, you're about to pay for the study.
Yeah,
so
I know. Yeah, really. You know, it'd be pretty funny if there is some money from coffee companies.
Right. From Folgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Claim. Creatine is the ultimate muscle-building supplement. The claim is a recent news article hypes creatine as a miracle supplement that boosts muscle growth, strength, and even cognitive function, citing a study from the University of East Anguilla.
Okay. I do think that there are some benefits, many benefits to creatine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's the ultimate because in combination, you always, you know, if you... I would have to see if that study says if the study group was just given creatine only rather than getting whey protein or anything else to go in with their workout regimen or their whole process.
Right, right.
That would tell you if the creatine is the ultimate building and supplement. You take that and you know maybe set the creatine control group here and you do a whey protein control group over here. Because whey protein on the good ones that have the good clean ingredients, you'll see that list of all those amino acids that are beneficial for helping you grow as well. Mm-hmm. And it's got that long list. I mean, there's what, 15, 20, 25 amino acids in that protein complex that help you. You take that and you combine it with the creatine, then I think you have a combination that is of great benefit. Well, I like creatine, and I put a scoop in this morning. Mm-hmm. But I also have protein powder in this too. So yeah. I can't tell you that it's to me, creatine wise, I don't know how much it's affected my cognitive ability. I don't know that it's helped my cognitive ability.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I'm not. Well, I don't feel smarter.
The cognitive part has been coming out in many studies. Several studies. About it improving cognitive form or cognitive function and helping with slow the process or reverse the process of dementia. So in fact, creatine has, from what I can't remember them all today, but creatine has a producer. Can you get on that? Creatine.
Yes, I will. I will at some point. I'll see what I can find out.
Right. Someday we'll have a producer. Hey, look that up. You know, like right. Joe Rogan say, hey, look that up.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
But creatine has many functions that are not just for muscle building.
Well, do I sound smarter? Because it's not affected my... I don't think it's helped me cognitively. I take 10 milligrams a day.
Yeah. I kind of fluctuate. I take 5 to 10 a day. Yeah.
I take 10 a day religiously because I'll take a scoop of 5 milligrams with my greens.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take a scoop of 5 with whether it's my coffee on the weekends. I don't put it in there during the week because I'm still on my fasting when I work out first thing. But on the weekends, I'll do it. If not, I'll put it in a post-workout shake, like when I start eating at noon. I'll make a protein shake, and I'll put a scoop in there. So I get 10 religiously, Matt. Maybe I've taken it so long now that the benefits, I just don't think about them, and that I can't quantitatively put my finger on it. I don't know.
Do you ever get cottonmouth when you take it? I get cottonmouth a lot when I take creatine.
No, because it's mixed with... I don't think I haven't paid that much attention to that because it's mixed with other things. So I don't know that it, you know. Do you just take yours and just put it in water and drink?
No,
it
No, I had
itself?
It, I had my drink the first part of the
shake?
Show. I had it in my shake
and you know, still get cotton mouth when you mix it with other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I mix it with my shake. It doesn't matter what I mix it with. Like maybe 45 minutes after, I'm like,
zapping your moisture out of your body.
Sucks the moisture out of it, right? My skin absorbs the moisture.
Okay.
And so my mouth gets kind of
I'd need to learn. I'd need to know more about that study about that.
Well, this is the caveat or the difference, I think. You have to listen. Creatine is the ultimate muscle building supplement. Okay. So that removes the anabolics, that removes peptides, you know, that the supplement, okay? So if you think about amino acid complexes versus creatine, and you said, okay, if I can only take one, what would I take? One supplement. If I had to narrow it down to one supplement, what would I take?
Well, now I've been intrigued this morning about peptides, and I've never come across those yet. I can't answer that. I like my creatine, but I also like my whey protein. And I might very well my peptides.
Take the peptides off the shelf, okay? Because I don't know if you can call peptides a supplement. I don't know if you would classify that as a supplement.
Why not?
Because in, I mean, it's kind of, I mean,
you what, could, what is creatine?
Creatine is a supplement, right?
How is it? Where is it found? How's it made? Where do you find it?
Well, creatine's in meat.
Right. So are the peptides.
They're from the body. Yeah.
And so is that whole.
And they are amino acids. Yeah.
And so is that whole amino acid complex.
Yeah.
And that whey protein. So they're all from meat. That was my point. So you can't say that one of those three is a supplement without saying the other two aren't.
Yeah.
You can't, because they're all three found in meat. They're all three found basically the same way. You're just using different parts of the benefit of that meat to help your body.
Well,
grow.
And I'll be honest, and I know that peptides is rather new, and I don't want to give too much information on it because I want to have an expert on it
right.
to talk about
Correct.
It.
But
I can't confidently say, okay, well, and let's say it this way, in the traditional sense of what we call supplements, if I were to arbitrarily take peptides off the shelf as a supplement, even if we wanted to classify them as a supplement, take them off the shelf, then what?
You know, that's difficult to say because I've taken both creatine and whey protein daily for years.
Mm-hmm.
I've not separated them and singly taken one
right.
or the other. So
right.
to me, the difference, I can't differentiate that because I've taken them in tandem to work together.
Right.
So I don't want to give you an uneducated answer or something that might mislead somebody because I don't know. I have not been able to take them. I mean, to me, it's a 50-50 split. I mean, would I like to try it for, a week or two on just creatine alone and see what that does? Sure. Would I like to go ahead and try the whey protein with all the aminos in it for a couple of weeks by itself to just see if it does anything and it allows the other to get out of the body and then and work?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
But when you put them together, you're getting, the whey protein, you're getting those extra grams of protein that you need. The creatine gives you... maybe a muscle boost to go along with that. So I don't know. What's your take? My take is I'm 50-50.
Because I can find if protein. Okay, here's the thing about creatine. Creatine doesn't come in the concentrations in meat like you can get. It's hard to get five. I mean, if you eat a 6 ounce steak, you're barely getting a gram of creatine.
Okay? Oh, is that how that? Yeah. Is that what that ratio is?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's very. You'd almost have to eat like 3 or 4 pounds of red meat
to get the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
So because of that fact, if you said to me, hey, I can only do one supplement. Okay. I would take the creatine because I can get the protein from my food. The creatine, I would have to eat so much red meat that it would be very difficult to do.
Okay.
Because of that, now if protein was in the same boat, protein was hard to mine, there's mm-hmm. There's protein in so many different things.
Right.
If it was as difficult as creatine, then it would probably be protein. But
okay.
But it does say that it is the best at growing muscle, which would put it in direct balance to or versus I guess protein, because protein is necessary for growing muscle,
right?
So
if you're going to put it that way, then I would have to agree with you on that.
Yeah. Anyway, so I would say, and it's also creatine is the most well-researched supplement in the history of man. So, and it's been proven over and over and over how beneficial it is. Nothing has been researched as much as creatine.
And I believe they're still coming up with new benefits of it.
Yes. But here's the thing that we always specify about supplement. There is no supplement that's a magic bullet.
No.
There's not. Okay.
Never going
to
be. Either.
No. So it's always comes down to the hard work in the gym now peptides supposedly will help that distance from, let's say here's the magic bullet side. Okay. The one take it, do, you're there.
Right.
Okay. And here is the do nothing side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So supplements, as you're working out, here's the magic bullet. Supplements are kind of like over here.
Mm-hmm.
They help
mm-hmm.
to get to where you want to be, but the hard work fills in the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think peptides move it a little bit farther.
Well, okay. and I think besides the hard work, you're limited to hard work and your genetics. Yeah. Genetics play a small part in that. And if the peptides can push that needle forward for you to help you, then there you go. But based on what we're discussing with creatine, if we're going to say that creatine, if we had to pick one, and it's the supplement because it's harder to get the same amount of, like we were discussing, out of, you know, you can get the protein out of your food, then yes, I would agree with you and say that creatine
so
is...
So that's a firework?
That's a firework, yes.
Okay. So we'll ask Parker in the next show when he listens to this, is that a firework or a fizzle? I'll say it's a firework.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that was my last one.
Well, so, okay, then how about if we were discussing this earlier, and if we have a quick minute to talk about it, maybe we should talk about this. We were discussing combining the benefits of coffee and creatine.
Yes. Yeah.
So what is your thought on that?
Well, I had never thought about it till you mentioned it. So, I mean, you know, you get the energy boost from caffeine and the muscle growth ability of creatine. So you combine those two, you have more energy to take advantage of the creatine.
Okay, well,
does that mean that's lame in terms?
This is what the article says here.
Yeah.
It says, combining creatine with coffee may provide synergistic benefits, such as increased energy, improved muscle strength, and enhanced physical performance. Some studies suggest that caffeine may not interfere with the benefits of creatine and could even complement its effects, although there is some debate about whether they should be taken together or separately. In terms of cognitive performance, creatine has been shown to improve memory, reduce mental fatigue, and support brain health. Caffeine also contributes to cognitive enhancement by increasing alertness and improving concentration. It is important to note that while both substances are generally safe, individual responses may vary. It is advisable to consult a healthcare professional before starting any new supplement regimen. Of course, especially if you have any underlying health conditions or are taking other medications.
Well, that's the legal quote.
Wow, right. So, and then it says, no, you're exactly right, the disclaimer. Yeah. And then it says, overall, the combination of coffee and creatine can be a convenient and effective way to enhance both physical and mental performance, provided it is done in moderation, that's what we've discussed before, and with consideration for individual tolerance levels.
Sounds good, man.
So I mean, they would work hand in hand, just like the whey protein and the creatine. It would just give you another avenue to give you maybe a little more alertness and focus.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a something I may need to try. I have a friend of mine who puts butter in his coffee.
You have two friends. See that yellow right there? So this ghee is it has turmeric in it, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
So I have, like I said, I put a little bit of ghee, a little bit of MCT oil in my coffee. I brew it hot. I'll, like on my workout days, I'll brew it hot with the MCT and the ghee in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just take a frother and frothen it up and then pour it over. I'll have this thing filled with ice and pour it over ice and take it with me to the gym, and I'll drink it to get my day started. Because I work out at 5, so I'll drink that first thing in the morning, and then when I'm done, I'll drink water. So, yeah, I love putting ghee in. And, you know, my wife looks at me like I'm crazy. People, when you talk to them, sometimes they're like, you're doing what?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, put a scoop of it's even better when you add a scoop of protein powder. And this morning, since I don't fast on the weekends, I give my body a break to reset and you know, eat early, I added some raw milk to this morning. Mm. So I had raw milk, my mocha protein powder, my ghee, and my oil all in my coffee, and I just blended it up with a frother and then poured it over ice, and it's delicious.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Good. And then I added my creatine. I had creatine in there.
Well, you heard it here, guys. You can try Brian's morning coffee drink.
It's good. It's bulletproof coffee is the model is what I modeled that after.
So we will hopefully have Parker back soon. He's been super busy. He's taken up a new added working on the farm with his father in, I think, property management. Really been taking up a lot of his time.
He wears a lot of hats.
He wears a lot of hats. I mean, he's a father. He got a family now, and he's trying to set up for the future, and we all get that.
Well, in summertime on a farm is very busy.
Yes, very busy. So hopefully we'll have him back here soon. If not, you'll probably be hearing from Brian a lot more. So we'll just have to see. But anyway, Brian, thanks for coming on and co-hosting with me. And I think this was a good show.
Oh, no, I agree. And as always, Matt, I always have a great time when you and Parker allow me to come on with both of you or if I'm filling in for Parker. So thank you for allowing me to do that. I am available anytime you need me. And let's see how it shakes out. But I think we covered some very good topics today.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we will touch back with you soon. When we get back, I will have the results of Nationals, and we'll share that. And thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Good luck once again, Matt.
All right. Thanks, brother. Yeah. See you guys. Bye.
Hey, look at you. You've completed another milestone by finishing this episode of Loading the Bar. Your future self thanks you profusely. Loading the Bar is podcasted from Lee Summit, Missouri. Email us at cpt.kansascity@gmail.com. Forge ahead and share your progress. And we'll see you back here for another episode of Loading the Bar.